Sports.
Yo, what is up, beautiful people? Is it a gorgeous Tuesday or what? Oh my goodness, just one of those days you just want to go out and just enjoy the sunshine, go for a walk, run, walk your dog. Oh my goodness, hopefully you're having a great one out there. It is April 14th, 2015. So honored and glad that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. We've got a great show in store for you. In just a sec, I'll be chatting with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, and of course, former WKR radio host. Of course, Richard has been following all things Detroit sports. He's going to chat about the Detroit Tigers' start of the season. Also, give us a preview of the Red Wings and Tampa Bay Lightning. Of course, game one of that series begins on Thursday. We'll also chat about Michigan State to play night game against Rutgers, for MSU football, I should say. Takeaways from the first spring scrimmage, as well as take your calls throughout this entire hour here on Current Sports, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this April 14th. Folks, the Big Ten Network announced on Monday that the Michigan State-Rutgers football game that will take place on October 10th will be a night game. Now, the primetime matchup will be the Spartans' first conference game in New Jersey. How about that? All right, Michigan State wide receiver McGarrett Kings Jr. had the charges reduced from a misdemeanor to a civil infraction following his February 28th arrest. Now, Kings, of course, was arrested for kicking a parking vehicle and resisting arrest and was charged with drunken and disorderly conduct and obstructing, resisting, hindering, or assaulting a police officer, which are, of course, both misdemeanors. Now, under the terms of the civil infraction, Kings is ordered to pay $360 in fines and cost must attend 20 alcohol counseling sessions. So how about that? All right, Michigan coach John Beilein will meet with guard Caris LeVert to discuss the idea of entering the NBA draft. Now, LeVert underwent season-ending foot surgery in January. However, ESPN's Chad Ford has LeVert at number 29 in his most recent mock draft. Now, Michigan is currently without any available scholarships if LeVert decides to stay. All right, Ohio high school quarterback Messiah DeWeaver, a Michigan State target, has moved his announcement date up to April 22nd. Now, DeWeaver is considered to be the best QB recruit in the state of Ohio for the 2016 class and is rated among the best 15 nationally by multiple recruiting sites. Now, the Spartans are one of five finalists for DeWeaver, joining Mississippi State, Penn State, Kentucky, and Louisville. So mark your calendars, April 22nd is when Messiah will be making his announcement. All right, goaltender Peter Mrazek will get the start for the Detroit Red Wings in game one of the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which of course start this Thursday. Now Mrazek split time with regular goalie Jimmy Howard in recent weeks as Howard has struggled since injuring his groin just before the All-Star break in January. Now, at just 22 years old, Mrazek has appeared in 40 games at the NHL level, posting a .920 save percentage. Detroit Tigers, they lost their first game of the 2015 season on Monday, falling 5-4 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Tigers scored three runs in the top of the ninth, courtesy of a Miguel Cabrera RBI double and a two-run home run by J.D. Martinez. But it wasn't enough to overcome the four-run deficit they faced. Aníbal Sánchez took the loss for the Tigers, allowing five runs on eight hits in 6.1 innings of work. Now, the Tigers will be in action again tonight at 7:05 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right. The offense came alive late in Monday's game for the Lansing Lugnuts as they scored three runs in the seventh and five in the ninth to beat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 9-1, the final of that one. Now, DH Ryan McBroom, he led the way for the Luggies with two hits and three RBIs. Now, Alonzo Gonzalez earned the win in relief for the Lugs, striking out seven in three no-hit innings. And last but certainly not least, the Detroit Pistons. fell 109-97 last night to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, despite all five starters scoring in double figures. Now, J.R. Smith was on fire, leading all scorers with 28 points, while LeBron James posted his second triple-double of the year. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on any of those or just anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave me a comment there. I'll read it right here live on the air. Or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And if you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least shoot me a follow, okay? Well, without further ado, how about we start the show?
For nobody. Ain't no Spurs fan. What type of question is that, man?
Who else?
See my hat?
All right, and that's how we start today's current sports. Welcome to the show. Of course, I am your host, Al Martin, on this BEA beautiful Tuesday afternoon. That's right. It is Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. We've got a great show in store for you, folks. Now, in just a sec, I'll be chatting with Detroit sports broadcaster Rich Kincaid, who follows all things D-Town. Of course, he has been following the Tigers pretty intently as they finally got a loss this year, losing to the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday afternoon. But man, oh man, what a start to the year. Actually, their best start approaching that Pittsburgh game. Their best start dating all the way back to 1985. If they would have beat Pittsburgh yesterday, they would have tied again. That would have been, what, 7-0, which would have tied the best start, you know, in franchise history. And would have tied, actually, the mark back in 1984. Remember that Bless You Boys period when the Tigers started the year 7-0 and, of course, won the World Series. But I tell you what, an impressive start, to say the least. We'll chat with Rich Kincaid later on. Now, what you just heard in that bite, actually, was pretty comical. Of course, that was Oklahoma City Thunder guard Russell Westbrook, who has just been putting the Thunder on his back and leading this team down the stretch of the year. This is when the NBA really gets exciting. Now, as you guys know, I'm a casual NBA fan. I mean, I love the NBA. I wouldn't say casual. Scrap casual. I am a diehard NBA fan. I watch, you know, pretty much, you know, from the start of the year all the way until it ends in June, baby, when somebody hoists the trophy for and his crown NBA champion. And I was glued to my TV last night, of course, watching this very interesting race for eighth in the Western Conference that now comes down to, of course, two teams. You got the New Orleans Pelicans, and you got the Oklahoma City Thunder. And wow, I tell you what, both of them won last night. Both of them, folks. And it's going to actually come down to Wednesday. Get your popcorn ready on Wednesday night, because you got the Pelicans taking on the San Antonio Spurs. And then on the flip side, you got the Thunder taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, just playing out the scenarios here. Let's say the Thunder go out and lose on Wednesday night. And, you know, just so happens that the Pelicans win on Wednesday. The Pelicans are in. If both teams win, I believe the Pelicans own the tiebreaker. Am I right? Yeah, the Pelicans own the tiebreaker. So the Pelicans will automatically be in for that eighth spot. But if the San Antonio Spurs can pull out a win against Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, and the Thunder handle business against the Minnesota Timberwolves, folks, the Thunder are in. How about that? And right now, of course, co-engineer of WKR's current sports, Isaac Constance, he's actually sitting behind the glass. Isaac is from New Orleans, And I can pretty much, you know, fathom what's going through his hair right now. I'm looking at his cat right now. He is rocking his New Orleans Pelicans hat right now. I want to know, Cassius, Isaac, what is going through your head right now, my man?
All right, yeah. So the Pelicans, obviously, you know, we've got the tiebreaker, which is very possible. And against the Spurs so far this year,
yeah,
we're 2-1. A lot of really tight games. Anthony Davis has been a man in those games. But the thing is, I mean, the Timberwolves are a bad team right now.
They are.
Andrew Wiggins is really the only healthy player. Zach LaVine's been playing well. But Rubio's hurt. Jang is hurt. Pekovic is hurt. I think Kevin Martin is hurt as well.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a close one, but it's an exciting time of year. April's always good, you know?
And the thing about it is, because I'm always interested to see just how coaches, you know, restructure their lineups around this time of the year, because those that have already clinched a playoff berth really have no need to play their starters. But right now, I do believe that San Antonio is playing the seeding game right now. Of course, they want the best seeding as possible before they head to the NBA playoffs. So they have pretty much every right and every, I guess you can say, motivation to play the big three in Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. Am I right? So that's going to be a very competitive game between, of course, the Pelicans and San Antonio Spurs. Isaac, I'm praying for you, brother. That's going to be very interesting to see what happens on Wednesday. But the bite you just started was pretty comical because, of course, if the Pelicans do lose to the Spurs on Wednesday, folks, the Thunder are in if they handle business against Minnesota, of course. So, of course, a reporter threw the question out to Russell Westbrook. It's very comical. It's all over ESPN. It's all over Yahoo Sports. Sports Illustrated picked it up. It's all over YouTube, folks. A reporter asked, of course, Russell Westbrook whether or not if he'll root for San Antonio to beat the Pelicans on Wednesday, and Russell Westbrook gives the most hilarious answer. He kind of scoffs at him like, huh, what? You got to be kidding me. Look at my hat. And of course, he's rocking an Oklahoma City Thunder hat. Now, I'm rocking right now a Brooklyn Nets hat right now. I'm not a fan of Brooklyn at all. I just like the color scheme, gray and black. You know what I mean? Isaac, of course, rocking his New Orleans Pelicans hat. He's a fan. So I think it varies. But it was very, very comical. If you haven't seen that bite, let it be your laugh of the day, folks. All right, let's start the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go local on you now. Of course, you heard in our current sports quick hit headliners. Boy, oh boy. Man, the Red Wings in the playoff for the 24th straight year. Actually, the longest streak, postseason streak, in North American sports. Very impressive stuff. So the Wings, the big question surrounding the Red Wings that really I was going to be looking at was who was going to be the starter, I should say, at goalie. Who was it going to be, Jimmy Howard or Peter Mrazek? Well, Mike Babcock came out, of course, yesterday and announced that goaltender Peter Mrazek will get the start for the Detroit Red Wings in Game 1 of the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, of course, Mrazek and Howard were splitting time during the second half of the year because of Jimmy Howard's groin injury, which he got, I believe, on the same day that he was announced as an NHL All-Star. So it came right before the NHL All-Star break. Jimmy Howard had one unbelievable stretch of hockey between the months of October all the way to January. And, you know, once that injury happened and Howard came back, he has just not been the same Jimmy Howard that we saw to start the season. So with that injury occurring, Peter Mrazek, this was his window of opportunity. That the door was let open. The door was cracked open for Mrazek. And I tell you what, he did a pretty solid job filling in for Jimmy Howard. Now, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about who's hot as far as answering the question whether or not Mike Babcock made the right decision here. I totally agree with him. And, you know, it's so interesting. Looking at his presser yesterday, he wanted to make it known that this move was nothing personal. It was all about business. And it's all about what have you done for me lately. Lately, Jimmy Howard has not been the goalie that we saw at the beginning of the year. Peter Mrazek has certainly been better. So you got to go with the hot hand. Why not go with young Peter Mrazek? Now, I get it. You know, the big question that was thrown about a lot from people that didn't agree with this decision happened to be Mrazek's youth. Doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, if any at all. And when you look at it, what happened last year when the Wings went out against Boston, the young guys really struggled. And you start to see that inexperience really rise to the top of the problems for the Wings. So we'll see, though. And, hey, you know, putting, you know, Peter Mrazek as the number one guy, hey, why not put Jimmy Howard as the second guy? You got to feel pretty comfortable with that because you got an all-star sitting there waiting. You know, if Peter Mrazek doesn't come out and have a great outing at the beginning of this series, first off, it's going to be very interesting to see how short the leash is for Mike Babcock, and when will he pull Peter Mrazek if he isn't hot to start the series, if and when, I should say. And then you throw in Jimmy Howard, a guy who has the playoff experience, who is an all-star. Hey, that's a pretty secure number two guy, if you ask me. And looking at this, I mean, this was a case of Jimmy Howard losing his job. That's all it was, folks, because, again, he had all-star numbers during the first half of the season. The groin injury came, sidelined him a month, really hurt his game. And, you know, Howard's decline again allowed Mrazek to come in and showcase what he can do. And I love Mike Babcock's presser yesterday. I mean, he's saying, hey, this isn't personal. Looking at the numbers, Peter Mrazek has been better as of late. We're going to throw him in and see what he can do. Now, looking at Mrazek and comparing his outings against the Tampa Bay Lightning this season. Now, Mrazek went 1-1 against the Lightning this year with a 3 goals against average and a .868 saves percentage. Now, of course, that 1-1, that win on the side of the win column for the 1-1 year against Tampa Bay includes a 23 save, 4-0 shutout this year. So not a bad outing for Peter Mrazek against Tampa Bay. And when you look at it now, the Wings, when it comes to the beginning of a playoff run, I should say, the Wings have not been great, folks. They are looking, actually, to snap a 5-year streak in which they haven't advanced past the second round. That's not what Hockey Town is known for, folks, and they're hoping to snap that. Now, again, they're going into the playoffs limping. They're not surging with some sort of big momentum here, folks. Again, at the beginning of this month, there was a big question whether or not the Wings would even make the playoffs. Would the streak be snapped finally? But, of course, no, they get in, you know, 24 straight, routine, right? But at the end of the day, you want positive momentum going into the playoffs. The Wings had an up-and-down rocky stretch to even get to this point where they're playing Tampa Bay on Thursday in a playoff series, folks. So it's going to be interesting. If I had to choose right now, I don't think the Wings are getting out the first round. I think Tampa Bay is the overwhelming favorite right now, and Vegas certainly agrees. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Peter Mrazek handles this start. I want to invite now engineer for today's Current Sports, Alex Sharg, to the show. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well. And to the Peter Mrazek topic, yeah, it makes sense because he has the better record, the better numbers. Like you said, I totally agree. You can't go wrong with that. Howard can't take offense to that. Sure, Howard has more experience in the playoffs, but over the last few seasons, they haven't gone anywhere, like you said. So it makes sense, a new start. I'm very interested to see how Mrazek does. However, the main thing that is important here is that regardless of the numbers against Tampa Bay, you have to make sure that Mrazek is the guy for the rest of the playoffs. So you're not just thinking about Tampa Bay here. You're thinking about the next round, who their potential next opponent would be. And you look at the next opponents, I don't know if Mrazek has the best numbers.
Well, I don't know. I think for Mike Babcock and the Detroit Red Wings, they're just trying to focus on the series at hand right now. Because, again, you know, they're the eighth seed in their conference, and they have to go against a team who's had a pretty solid season in Tampa Bay. I think you just focus on the series at hand right now. I don't know if they're looking past Tampa Bay right now, Alex. So as far as right now why this decision was made, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with who's hot. And right now, Peter Mrazek, when you compare him to Jimmy Howard, he is playing better. Simple as that. The proof is in the pudding. So, again, it's going to be very interesting to see how he can handle it. He's a young kid. Young kid, man, you know, early 20s, dealing with the playoff pressure, playing in Hockey Town with the Red Wings, a team that has a storied tradition when it comes to postseason success. And sometimes that could be a good thing because I've come to find when it comes to youth, young athletes, very young athletes in a position like this, sometimes, you know, the pressure can get to young kids, certainly. But sometimes the pressure, you know, that may be seemingly so big from the outside looking in, for some kids, it doesn't even faze them. They kind of just play with their hair down. They play with a nothing to lose type of attitude. So I don't know. We'll see how this works out. But as far as whether or not I agree with the move, I think it was a very smart move from, of course, the standpoint of Mike Babcock and what's best for his team. So going to be very interesting to see. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to transition now and talk about the Detroit Tigers. Wow, I tell you what, before yesterday's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, I tell you what, the Tigers had been on one incredible roll. 6-0, approaching that game. The best start for this team dating back since 1985. But I got to say this, you know, there's been a lot of people that said, oh my goodness, 6-0, the Tigers are looking really good. But folks, you got to remember, and I always keep this in mind, a baseball season is a marathon. It is not a sprint. I always say that. 6-0, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But again, if we were to rewind the clock to last year, remember the Tigers started last season 27-12 last year. A hot, sizzling hot start. And then what happened from there? Of course, they went 63-60 and lost in three straight to the Baltimore Orioles. So it's too early to make any sort of hard cemented predictions as of right now as to how good this team can be. But I will say there are some things you can harp on that could possibly, if you water them right, could sprout into some pretty big trees. I will say that Miggy, first off, Miguel Cabrera, my goodness, has he been good, folks. And again, he owns Cleveland. Looking at this past weekend series against the Cleveland Indians, he went 11-14 over the weekend against the Indians. He had two home runs. He had a double, had a steal. Miguel Cabrera, knock on wood. Hold on. Knock on wood, folks. I think Miguel Cabrera is pretty healthy right now. Pretty healthy. I will say that. And looking at it, the history that he has against the Indians, I mean, he completely owns the Indians. They should change Progressive Field to Miguel Cabrera Field. I tell you what, because he completely owns them. He actually has a 357 average against the Indians in his career. He has hit 37 home runs against Cleveland, 118 RBIs against the Indians, and get this, he has 23 homers, the most by any player at Progressive Field. So if you are a Tigers fan out there watching this squad and looking at your gym, Miguel Cabrera, you have to have a big smile on your face. You got to be grinning from ear to ear, folks. Miguel Cabrera looks really good. Now, of course, we talk a lot about the bullpen. We talk a lot about the health of the squad. We talk a lot about Justin Verlander. Will he ever be the JV of old? But I will say this. I'm very impressed about the defensive improvement for the Tigers this year so far. You know, having Jose Iglesias back, who I think is one of the – he's one of the fun – just I love watching Jose Iglesias. He's so athletic. He's very, very fun. And he's a great defensive player. Having him back, along with Anthony Gose, I love Anthony Gose, folks. And I tell you what, looking at – I read an interesting article in the Detroit Free Press today from Jamie Samuelson, and he talked about and really broke down how big of a get Anthony Gose has been for the squad, even though it's so early. Now, looking at it, you know, he's a fantastic center fielder. Of course, that was one of the question mark pieces to the squad approaching this year. Heck, even last year when Austin Jackson went out, of course, remember that when that trade happened, middle of the year, and you threw in Rajai Davis, who a lot of people weren't sold on Davis out in the outfield. But now you get Anthony Gose. This is a move that was made to fill that center field void, and he is fantastic. He has been fantastic so far. And looking at what you get with Anthony Gose, a lot of question marks with him as well, not when it comes to his defensive game, because he is a center fielder that is he's unbelievable. He can play that position with the best of them. But the biggest question for him is when you place him in the lineup, can he do the job at the plate? That's the thing about Anthony Gose. But I will say, through Sunday, if you look at his numbers, he was hitting .450. Impressive stuff there. He had a steal, had six runs, and he slugged .800, folks. That's impressive stuff. Now, let's be realistic here. Anthony Gose can't put up those numbers throughout an entire season. Let's be real here. Certainly can't do that. Those are unrealistic expectations for Anthony Gose. But if he can stay consistent in some form of the word throughout the year, hey, I think, hey, he's going to be a factor. Anthony Ghost is going to be a factor here, folks. I thought it was very, very interesting how that was really broken down by Jamie Samuelson. If you haven't seen his article in today's Free Press, definitely check that out. And also, you know, other question mark for this squad moving forward is really the top and bottom of the lineup. Because the middle of the lineup, I mean, just looking at the lineup right now, you got Anthony Ghost, Ian Kinsler, Miguel Cabrera, V-Mark, J.D. Martinez, Yoenis Cespedes, Nick Castellanos, Alex Avila, Jose Iglesias. So, again, the question marks are at the top and the bottom, folks. The middle is solid. Cabrera, Martinez, V-Mark Martinez, I should say, Victor Martinez, J.D. Martinez, Yoenis Cespedes. Those guys, those are power hitters, folks. They get the job done. You pretty much can assure that they are going to bring it. At the top of the lineup, Anthony Ghost, Ian Kinsler, Bottom of the lineup, Alex Avila, Jose Iglesias, little rocky there as well. So those are the question marks for this squad. Nonetheless, impressive start. Only one loss on the year for the Tigers. But again, hold your horses, folks. We still got a long way to go this year. Alex, are you throwing confetti up in the air already about the Tigers' start to the season?
Absolutely not. I mean, look at the Royals. The Royals are beating the Angels. They're beating really good quality teams. And not that the Indians aren't quality, but the Tigers definitely didn't have a tough matchup against the Twins. The Indians, who the Royals also beat. So overall, the Tigers really haven't had a tough schedule so far. And you can't really throw the confetti at this point. Now, in terms of the game yesterday, there's when you start to see the concerns of the pitching, giving up those two home runs late. And also, how about the call to not pinch hit for Victor Martinez late in the game when you have a man on first, zero outs, Nick Castellanos comes up who's hit into two double plays already during the day. You think there's either a sack bunt or a sacrifice at that point. For me, that was unbelievable. I thought that was maybe not the right call for Brad Ausmus. However, he did come after the game and say the reason he didn't is because he knew Victor had the best chance of tying the game. So he wanted to wait in case there was a situation where it was a last resort, two outs, bottom of the top of the ninth, and that he had to use Victor. However, for me, when you're down to one run, you have to tie the game. It doesn't matter who has the best chance of winning, who's up at the plate. You just want to get that run in at least tie. And at that point, I'm sack bunting.
Yeah, he definitely defended his position during yesterday's post-game presser. And looking at Nick Castellanos' outing yesterday, I mean, he had hit into, I think, two double plays yesterday. So
it was the third. That was the third one.
Yeah, that was the third one, exactly. So, yeah, and again, the spotlight is on Brad Ausmus because there are a lot of people that aren't completely sold on, especially last year, his job of managing this team. So it's going to come down to the little things, and little decisions can certainly cost you games. But again, folks, still early, still got a long season to play, so buckle up. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, of course, we've got my man Ray on line one. Ray, you are on Current Sports. How you doing, bud?
Skipper.
My man.
Hey, I talked to your buddy there, Alex, and I told him to get that sweet Reggie for you. He said the other day that he had to pay for his tuition for college, so you gotta give him a raise.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta fire him, one of the two.
Well, I tell you what.
You gotta give him a raise or fire him.
No, we can't fire Alex. Alex is the hardest working man I know. I'm telling you, right? But I will say this. I haven't made this announcement yet. I was actually saving it for later on in the show, but the cat's already out the bag. Actually, Ray, this is Alex's last week here on WKAR's Current Sports. Can you believe that?
Oh, no. Where's he going?
His final day is Friday. A lot of people don't know that Alex, of course, with all that he does here on the show, has also been juggling being a student here at Michigan State as well.
Oh,
so he will be graduating next month, actually moving back to Metro Detroit. Am I right, Alex? Yeah, he's shaking his head. He's moving back to Metro Detroit. So we're going to have a special send-out for him later on. Well, throughout this week, callers that want to call in and wish Alex a farewell, you can do so.
Yeah,
but we'll have a special.
Alex, I'll pray for you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have a special salute to Alex during Friday's show, Ray.
Make me feel bad. I thought I could pick on him for the next 5 or 10 years.
He's got tough skin. You can still do that, Ray.
Okay.
Man.
You guys beat my Indians up over the weekend.
I tell you what.
Corey Kluber pitched good. It was 3-2 when they took him out. Their bullpen just let him down. You can't give up 8 runs, 9 runs, 8 runs. And you know Kirk Cabrera was 11 for 14. Why didn't they knock him down or at least knock him off the plate? I mean, come on. That's a softball hitting.
I think the 14. Yeah, I think the last time he was up during the final game of that series on Sunday, they finally walked Miguel. But man, he just owns Cleveland, doesn't he?
He's always killed us.
Yeah,
he's always. Cabrera is a great player. Don't get me wrong, but the Indians do not know how to pitch to him at all.
Right, that's true. I mean, hey, 23 homers, the most by any player at Progressive Field. Impressive stuff, Ray.
Well, I know. You got to give him credit. My son told me 10, 15 years ago this guy was great, and I really didn't know him from Miami, you know, when they beat the Indians in 3-7 games.
Right.
I kind of forgot about it, but he has been a great player over the year. How old is he?
Oh, boy, I can probably Google that for you right
now. He looks
a
lot. He's a lot younger than he looks. He looks a lot older to me.
Let's see, Miguel Cabrera, he's right now 31. 31 years old.
31 is all he is?
He's got a birthday coming up in actually 4 days, April 18th. Yeah,
my
so he'd be 32.
How old was he when he played the Indians in 97?
Oh, boy. I have to do
that
math
would go
on that.
Back
yeah.
to 18 or 19?
Yeah, he has to be really, really young. Yep. Yep.
They won the World Series in 7 games. You know, my Michigan Wolverines won the national title. I said I could have died and went to heaven if the Indians would have won. They ain't won since 1948.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was born in 49, so. You know, I could have died, but I couldn't do it yet.
So the Indians are your squad then, Ray, huh?
I got to wait for my Indians to win one, but I'll tell you, that was a close one, a seven-game series. But just like Michigan when they won the national title in 97, they had five or six games they could have easily lost. They won them all.
Right.
You know, the crowd rocked and rolled. I got them rocking and rolled better than any stadium in ever that year, you know, cheering-wise, because Michigan's never really been a real loud stadium.
Right. Gotcha.
But,
yeah.
It's interesting. What do you think Tiger's going to be able to get his wood straightened out?
As far, well, you said Tiger's as far as what, Ray?
No, the Tiger Woods now we're talking.
Oh, Tiger Woods. Yeah,
you
Tiger.
He's always had problems with airing shots on his woods, but nothing like he has lately.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Tiger Woods, and again, I said this on yesterday's show. I mean, the outing that he had at the Masters, Ray, if you're Tiger Woods, and again, you're flying home after round four of the Masters, the final round on Sunday, and you look back at his body of work, hey, you got to be encouraged. Because Tiger, I mean, if you look at his past tournaments before he took that leave of absence, I mean, man, he couldn't even make a cut, Ray. And to make the cut at the Masters, to see his name on the leaderboard amongst those, of course, no one was catching Jordan Spieth all weekend, but to see him among everyone, hey, you got to be encouraged. I think Tiger Woods, I think his game, if you look at his game and evaluate it over four rounds this past weekend, it is on the climb. I will say that. Is he back? Who knows when Tiger Woods will be back, if ever, Ray.
His chipping was a lot better. I don't know what he happened there. He must have went just back to his fundamental just – he was yipping a lot of those putts there for a few weeks there.
Yeah, and he's got to get better at putting as well. I've always said that about Tiger. I mean, that's what made Tiger so dynamic.
Now, you remember the old saying by Sammy Snead? He said, you drive for show and you putt for dough.
That's right.
You drive to putt.
I like that. I'm going to write that one down. I never heard that quote.
Sammy Snead said one time, he said, you drive for show and you putt for dough.
I really, really like that quote, right?
That's the truth, too. If you can't putt and be around the greens, you're in bad shape.
That's true. You can't win without a good putting game.
The woods, the irons, everything.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't just one thing. That's why it's so tough to play great golf.
That's true. Hey, Ray, always a fantastic time chatting with you, my man.
God bless.
All right, folks, again, if you want to call in just like my man Ray just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break here on WKAR's Current Sports. When we come back, I'll be chatting with Rich Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. He'll break down the start of the year for the Tigers, talk a little Red Wings, and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, here on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, folks. My goodness, I am so glad that the weather is finally starting to turn the page, and, you know, we're getting 60s and possibly 70s this weekend. How about that? Let's cross our fingers, though. You never know. It's Michigan still. But, man, it's a beautiful day. I know some of you may be out there going for a jog, run, or walk. I tell you what, I need to go for a jog because I need to get in shape, folks. I want to talk about this event. It's very, very cool. It's called the Battlefield Brawl. Now, of course, if you guys who watch Current Sports TV know that I participated in this event last year. It's actually put on by, of course, T.J. Duckett, former MSU great running back. It's a very cool event. That's a flag football tournament. It's in partnership with the Oldham Project, in which all proceeds for the tourney, and they'll be raising money for, the Oldham Project, which helps kids with life-threatening diseases or illnesses. So it's a great cause. Again, it'll be taking place this month, April 26th, from noon to 6 p.m. at Marshall Park in Lansing, Michigan. And, again, this is the sixth annual year, so that's why they're calling it the Battlefield Brawl 6. The sixth annual flag football tournament supporting the Oldham Project. And I'll be out there playing my butt off, folks. And I tell you what, last year I participated in it, and man, was I in some good pain. Yeah, I was in pain, folks. So I told myself this year I will be uber prepared for whatever that tourney brings. We played like four games, too. The cool thing about it is whatever team you're on, even if you lose, you go to the loser's bracket. And you still have I wouldn't say the loser's bracket, because you still have an opportunity to possibly, you know, win the loser's bracket and compete against the winners in the winner's bracket and compete for a championship. So a very fun time. Music will be there. DJs will be there. They have a lot of stuff for the kids. And you'll get to see me actually bring that feature to Current Sports, so you don't want to miss that as well. We'll have visual of me really huffing and puffing that weekend. So shout out to Ty Duckett. He always does great things in the community. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Rich Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, and of course, former WKAR radio host. Rich, how you doing?
Great, Al. Great to hear you. You know, I got to say, before we jump into the Tigers and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
This Lawrence Phillips situation, I just can't get it out of my head for some reason. I don't know if you've talked about it much earlier on today, but Lawrence Phillips, of course, the remarkable yet troubled running back from the University of Nebraska back in the 90s. And
right.
He was picked sixth overall in the NFL draft. He turned out to be a total bust, and he winds up going to prison for, a 31-year term, which presumably will be longer now that he's accused of killing his cellmate in a California prison over the weekend.
Yes.
As I was looking at this story last night, a lot of the things I read indicated that Phillips' troubles really began after a Nebraska-Michigan State game back in September of 1995.
Really? I didn't know that.
It dawned on me. And I think Nebraska ran for 550 yards at MSU that day, and they beat the Spartans, I think it was 50-10. What I remember about that game, though, and what everyone will remember, it was Nick Saban's first game as Michigan State coach.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
The following, and Saban actually, it struck me as funny because he was upset in the media room afterwards. This is before they actually had a media room, and we used to meet in the furnace room, sort of down the tunnel there. It really was. You were just crammed in there. And Saban was upset, said he thought his players had quit and yada yada. And I just remember thinking to myself, and mind you, I'm a Spartan, like you said, I'm an old WKAR guy myself. I'm thinking, what did he expect was going to happen? I mean, Nebraska came in, they were ranked number two in the nation, and they crushed Michigan State. I mean, I've never forgotten Saban's reaction to that. That, like, he was peeved. He didn't expect this out of his Michigan State team, and turns out, long run, he'd be correct about that. But at any rate, following the game, Nebraska, of course, gets on a plane, flies back to Lincoln. And at 5 o'clock the following morning, that's when Phillips assaulted a girl in the dormitory, gets himself, he should have been, of course, kicked off the team, but Tom Osborne bravely benched him for something like 5 weeks, and then late in the year, when they got a shot at a national title, he brought him back and let him play. But the genesis, maybe not the genesis, but the beginnings of Lawrence Phillips' troubles began after that Michigan State game back in 95. For some reason, that just struck me.
You know what? And I was reading that story, Rich, when it broke, of course. And I'm sitting there reading it. And, I didn't know much about Phillips. Looking back at his history, he was one of the nation's top college football players at Nebraska, as you said, helping the Cornhuskers win, back-to-back national championships in 94 and 95.
Right.
Played for the Rams. Was released in 97 for insubordination, and he played for the Dolphins and the 49ers as well. And I'm reading his story, And it was so compelling and very sad, to be honest with you. And I'm sitting there, and I had no idea that there was actually a local tie to Michigan State in Saban's first year at Michigan State. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable,
yeah,
Rich.
Saban, that's the thing. I'm thinking to myself, I was at that game. I saw Lawrence Phillips rush for those yards and those touchdowns, and then for it to, you know, a matter of 12 hours later for his, you know, everything to be upended. Although in the totality of the picture, Lawrence Phillips was declared legally incorrigible at the age of 11. Mm. He just had a very rough upbringing, you know, no parents, on his own sort of deal, and he was in and out of group homes, and apparently he found football when he was in high school, mm-hmm. and it would have saved him, but apparently the forces at play were already too far advanced, perhaps, but every time you see something like this, I'm just thinking what a terrible, tragic waste it is. I mean, he could have had it all. A lot of people said he would have gone number one in that NFL draft in 96 instead of number six overall had it not been for the off-the-field issues, which ended up consuming him. So,
wow.
You know, and there's another sad story with the Lions, that wide receiver that got in the fight in the locker room,
yeah,
and got himself kicked off the team, and now out of Idaho, out of Boise State, and now I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Now, but anyway, I think everyone knows what you're talking about, Rich.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. He's going to be sentenced on May 5th in California on an assault charge, and he himself will find himself in the penitentiary. And you know, I did a radio show with this guy.
Wow.
And he just seemed like as nice a person as you were ever going to meet. You know, and that was early. Remember when the Lions beat the Bears on a Monday night football game?
Yeah, yeah.
At Ford Field, mm-hmm. They just crushed him. It was a big deal. And he was on the radio show with me the following morning. I spent the entire morning with him. You know, and he did, like I said, seemed like a terrific guy. And so the rest of the season, I'd always go up, how you doing, and everything. So kind of kept a special eye on him, you know. And then to see the bottom fall out of his career. And he's out of football in like a year and a half. And now, again, you've got another guy that's in all likelihood, is going to be sentenced to, multiple years in the California State Penitentiary System. So, yeah, well, I don't know.
And, of course, you're talking about Titus Young here, Rich. Now,
exactly, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, with Titus, so I had no idea. So he's going to be convicted?
Been convicted. He'll be sentenced on May 5th.
Oh, boy.
Since he left the Lions has been the same thing, in and out of trouble with the legal system, in and out of some mental institution situations.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing about it I want to bring up, because I know Brandon Marshall, a guy who had battled, you know, just having mental issues in the league. He actually, Brandon Marshall from the Chicago Bears, wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, actually reached out to Titus and tried to help him, but Titus wasn't willing, and it kind of just trickled out of control. But it's really unbelievable. I did not know that Titus was going to be sentenced pretty soon. That's unbelievable, Rich.
Yeah, it really is. So I don't know why these things are on my mind today, but they are. But, you know, now we can turn our attention. Well, it's your show. But if you want to talk Tigers, that would certainly be more uplifting, one supposes.
No, I appreciate you bringing up that, Rich, because, again, I seeing athletes who have all the talent in the world and seeing, looking at the backgrounds of some of these athletes that, of course, protrude into just a boiling point. Really, and seeing what happens, it's really sad. And I'm glad you did bring it up, Rich, because I certainly, if not today, was going to bring it up later on in the week. So I appreciate that, Rich. But let's shift gears now. Let's talk some Tigers. Of course, we talked Tigers during our first segment of the show. I want to get your take on their start to the year. Now, of course, before yesterday's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, they had been on a complete roll. Actually, their best start, matching their best start since back in 1985. What is your take on the start of the year so far, Rich?
Jonas Cespedes, has made all the difference.
He's good, man. He's really good.
I got so used to the Tigers in these past three or four seasons, winning divisions, and it'd be Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder and Victor Martinez. I mean, three of the best hitters in baseball right there in the heart of your lineup. But it seemed to me they'd get past that. Well, it didn't seem to me. The statistics were right there to look at. They'd get past the five hole. And they didn't have anybody who could hit after that. It was like five great hitters and four guys that couldn't hit a lick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got Cespedes kind of plugged in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he can hit. So he's in at number six because JT Martinez. Let's hope he can keep it up. And he's certainly hitting the long ball early on. He's got three or four anyways.
Yeah, he does.
But now they've got some punch towards the back end of the order. And when you get into a ball game, if you can get Cabrera an at bat with runners on base, you are so far ahead of the game. So I mean, offensively, I love Cespedes. I think he's going to be a huge difference maker. The offense just has a totally different feel to me. Castellanos, so you know, a year under his belt, probably won't struggle the way he did last year. I think they're going to be better than okay offensively. I think they're going to be a great offensive team. You like to think they've got three, four solid starters. You know, I mean, I say that with a cautious tone in my voice because Shane Green, pretty good with the Yankees last year, but we got to see how he fares over the course of an entire season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kid they got from Cincinnati was eye-opening, I thought, in his – not a kid, he's 30, but he was eye-opening in his first start, and they're doing it so far, of course, without Verlander, who's still on the DL but is eligible to come off pretty quickly here. So I think the starting pitching is going to be – it should be fine.
Right.
The only question mark – wild card in all of this is because of the way baseball has changed. Starting pitching isn't as important as it used to be. Starters, us old guys know, used to take it to the seventh or the eighth or the,
yeah,
or the ninth inning, right? And
right
now, if you get the starter to go six, it's like a success. So those middle relief guys have taken on an importance that they never had before. And I think that's the big question mark with And it was last year. Well, it was answered in the negative. But that's the big question mark with this team is that those middle relief guys, the guys are going to come in and pitch in the seventh and the eighth, and really with Nathan being hurt early on here, and then after the year he had, the guy who comes in to pitch the ninth inning as well. That's the big question with this team.
So, and you know, it seems to me, Rich, that this has been the same question mark that we've had for, what, 3 to 4 years now with the Tigers, that relief pitching and, of course, the bullpen as well. I mean, did you think the Tigers did enough in the offseason to sort of pad that problem at all, or should they have done more?
No. It seemed to me that they hardly addressed it at all,
right,
except for, you know, cutting their ties with Phil Koch, who's a Cub now.
Right.
So, no, I did not. I think the difficulty is, you know, you can only spend X amount on your ball club, and they reached X. And with the emergence now of relief pitching as such an important part of the game, that's just one more moving part, one more ball you have to keep in the air at the same time, as it were. And you know, I think starting pitching, hitting, and relief pitching, you can't, you know, you can't spend as much as you want to on every aspect of the game. I believe that's the aspect where they've spent the least money, paid the least attention. Does it cost them or not? You know what? Look at Kansas City last year. Once they got a game to the seventh inning, they had an excellent chance of winning it because they had a great guy to pitch the seventh, a greater guy to pitch the eighth, and the greatest guy to come in and pitch the ninth inning for them. Even when you shorten the ball game like that, you're going to win a lot of games. And I'll tell you what, there's a funny thing here. Kansas City was a huge surprise last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go all the way to the World Series and come within a run of maybe winning the World Series.
Right.
Well, they're no surprise this year. It's funny how that happens. The team will be an unknown quantity one year and have a great year, and then they follow that up with some greatness. I think we're going to see that out of Kansas City this year, even though they've lost Shields out of that rotation. I've been watching them, and they look awfully, awfully good to me. So it should be actually, and Detroit plays them 19 times, should be a lot of fun. This race between Detroit and Kansas City, but I'm guessing it's going to be a race, and it's going to turn. You know, people can't really. I think two of the best teams in baseball, Detroit and Kansas City, are in the American League Central. I think it's time to put to rest this AL Central's the weak division, the weak sister talk.
Yeah, I think they should bury that as well. We're on the same page with that one, Rich. Again, we're talking to Rich Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Now, Rich, health is also a question when it comes to this team. Now, I tell you what, watching Miguel Cabrera, I tell you what, the kid looks – the man, I should say, looks really, really good. Of course, he owns the Cleveland Indians, an incredible outing over the weekend for him. When it comes to the health of this squad, how healthy does Miggy look to you as well as Justin Verlander?
Well, we haven't seen Justin yet. It's hard to make an
right
evaluation on him. Miguel, looks just fine. Healthier than I thought he would be coming off the ankle surgery in the off season. Victor Martinez, he's 39, right? He tweaked his knee just taking a swing and a miss in Cleveland over the weekend. That kind of gives you a little bit of pause. But all of these guys, they're running out of time. The window, for them to win a championship is starting to close because as much as we love Miguel Cabrera, he's heading off into his mid-30s. As we say, V-Mart, Victor's up there pretty good at this point, doing amazingly well for a 39-year-old athlete. Joe Nathan's 39. So, the time's now, I think, definitely with this team. This is not a young ball club.
Now, of course,
what do they got after this year? Cabrera's got 7 years left on his contract, right?
Right, exactly. Very, very true. Now, and Rich, looking at the start of this year, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to crown the Tigers already, that they think they're going to make a big postseason run here, looking at the way they've started the year. It's still early. Now, granted, they definitely could do that. I mean, the Tigers are one of the best teams in baseball. But again, if you look at last year, Tigers started with 27-12. Then they went 63-60 from there and, of course, lost to Baltimore. How big of a grain of salt should we take the start of the year for the Tigers, Rich?
Well, people were calling me Debbie Downer, and I'm like, don't call me Debbie. But a lot of those ball games, you had top flies that were falling in between, two outfielders and an infielder trying to go back and get it. It seemed like every ground ball found the hole,
Right.
And they got a boatload of clutch two-out RBI hits, especially that Saturday game against the Indians. Well, the thing of it is, over the course of 162, those ground balls don't always find the hole, and sometimes they don't fall between the infielders. I'm not saying the Tigers were lucky. I'm just saying they were in a stretch of games there where a lot of stuff was falling in for hits. Conversely, that's why they say it evens out. You're going to go through a week, 10 days, where nothing falls for a hit. And that's what tests your mettle. That's when you find out what you're made of as a ball club, to go totally cliche on the whole thing. But it's been impossible to not be impressed by them. And, gosh, if they'd have been able to pull off that comeback in Pittsburgh yesterday, where they're down 5-1 in the ninth and they end up losing 5-4,
right.
Although the Bucco certainly helped them
right. With
those two plays at second base to start the innings, which should have been two outs against Detroit. Instead, they had men on, and they were able to make it a one-run game. And, boy, then Nick hits into his second double play of the afternoon, and they fall short. But imagine how everybody would feel right now
if
the Tigers had come back and were 7-0. I mean, people would be agog. But, no, there have been stretches here in this first week where they have looked as good as I've ever seen a Tiger team look. So if they, if they keep that up, it's going to be a marvelous summer. But there's going to be times. So we'll see. Like I said, KC, I don't think they're going away. They seem to be. I mean, they went out there and just handled the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim over the weekend. And then everybody knows LA is a good club out there. So it's going to be fun.
And if the Tigers, of course, would have won that game yesterday, it would have matched the best start dating back to 1984 during that period for that squad. So unbelievable stretch, right? I tell you. All right, Rich, I want to transition now before we get you out of here. I want to talk a little hockey. Of course, the Detroit Red Wings, they will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning this Thursday. Peter Mrazek getting the start at goalie. Mike Babcock, of course, announced that during yesterday's presser. We actually got a caller online wants to shoot a hockey question out at you, Rich. This is Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, and welcome to Current Sports?
I'm doing good, Al. I'm glad to hear you actually have someone knowledgeable of hockey on the air.
There we go.
and Rich, here's my question for you. And I guess I'm not thinking playoffs this year with the whole goalie stuff because, quite frankly, I don't see the Red Wings as being a Stanley Cup, competitors for a couple of years yet. With that in mind, who's the long-term solution at goalie? And
man,
I also, well, and part of that question has to do with Gustafson. What's his situation?
Yeah,
with his
Gustafson has been such a profound disappointment to me, personally. I mean, it was Gustafson and Lundqvist who were the Olympic goalie tandem from Sweden or wherever it is they're from, right? And I really thought Gustafson was going to be a great addition to this team, but he's just been hurt the whole 2 years. So although he was Detroit's playoff goalie last year when Jimmy Howard got sick, but I don't know. I don't know that he can't keep three, so I don't think he figures into their plans. Your question, the long-term Red Wing goaltender solution was answered year before last when the Wings signed Jimmy Howard to a contract that runs through 2019 and which pays him usually about $6 million a year. Sometimes it goes up to $6.5 million, and then towards the tail end it goes down to $5.5 million. But to me, this is the biggest story of the year, the fact that Jimmy Howard is not starting a goal for the Red Wings in the playoffs. This is the reason they're paying him. The reason they gave him the long-term huge contract, that's $6 million a year, and I think it's $6.5 million this year, is to win a Stanley Cup, is to be the man come playoff time. And here come the playoffs, and he's not the man. You've got some 23-year-old Czech going out there. He's probably making a tenth of dollars, and it's head-shaking. But, you know, Scotty Bowman used to always say, the goalie, it was just like every time he asked him any question about goaltending, he would say the goalies put the numbers on themselves. Well, Jimmy Howard, since the All-Star break, way under 500 wins and losses, save percentage in the 880s, and a goals against is up over 3. And putting those numbers on himself cost him his job in the postseason.
Yeah. What is your
But again, as far as the long-term aspect is concerned, yeah, they're committed to Jimmy Howard through 2019 at $6 million per. He's, you know, unless they're going to eat that contract and take that cap hit, he's the long-term answer. They're just not in a good position here.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, Kirk, really quick. We got 2 minutes left in the show. Go ahead, Kirk.
What is your take on this whole thing that the team plays better in front of Mrazek? I mean, to me, the goalies are definitely different. Mrazek gives up more rebounds. And I think the team knows that and works harder to get them out, cleared out, whereas Howard seems to catch a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I've never believed in that particular theory. I could be wrong because I play some goal myself, and I know it's just Friday and I drop in, and I've let a bad one in, and I've seen my team just deflate in front of me and actually quit. But I think at that level, I just don't think it really enters their mind who's playing behind them. There was a time when they had supreme confidence in Jimmy Howard, but even if you don't have confidence in your goaltender, you still have to play your game, play your system, or you're asking for trouble. So I just don't think it enters into their minds that much. And if it did, remember the goal that Peter gave up against the Boston Bruins in that very important late in the season game where he just whiffed on one, a little wrister from the circle, right? If they were going to quit on him, they would have done it subsequent to that, and they haven't. So I don't think they think that way.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet, absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Kirk, for the call. Before we get you out of here, Rich, what happens in this series for the Red Wings against Tampa Bay? What do you think happens?
You know what? That's kind of the beauty and the curse of the NHL playoffs. In the NBA, you know, the one always beats the eight. In the NHL, the eight sometimes beats the one. Happens a lot more often than you might think. If the Wings can get off to a good start, they can beat Tampa.
There you have it. Rich Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. And, folks, we'll actually have Rich as my current sports TV guest tomorrow night at 6 p.m. I'm definitely looking forward to that, Rich. Thanks a lot.
I'm too, Al. See you then.
All right. See you then. All right, folks. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to give, again, a special thanks to Rich Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, former WKR radio host. I tell you what, he knows his stuff, doesn't he? Again, Rich will be my current sports TV guest for tomorrow night's taping. Again, go to WKAR.org to be a part of that live studio audience, ladies and gents. Also, want to give a shout-out to Ray and Kurt from Grand Ledge, those that called in. And, hey, our listeners out there, thanks so much for all of you out there for tuning in to today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.